Thank you for tuning in to the North Peace Roundtable Podcast. This is the podcast cast coming at you this first week of May. Guess what song I listened to yesterday?
Jesus
it's gonna be May. Because it was, I was a few days late, but I was like, hey, Molly, check this out. Because we got the 90-day free trial of Apple Music.
Oh, yes.
So I was like, I'll do that for 3 months. And so, yeah, last night we were looking up all of these, like, early 2000s. Oh, it was so good. You know, Scrubs. That was a great song. Right. Anyways, I'm a Christian. I don't listen to that. So welcome to the Roundtable Podcast. My name's Andrew, and with me, as always, is Cameron.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everyone.
Now it's your thing. Now we can't say that.
I didn't even pre-plan that. Welcome, welcome.
Yeah, welcome, welcome, welcome. And Corlin is here.
May the 4th be with you.
Oh. Is today... Oh, man.
Hey. What a nerd.
Pew, right? Pew, pew. I know. At home today, Aaron was like, yeah, you can go ahead and invite some of your nerds over. And I was like, oh. It's true, though. So
today's episode, we're going to talk about the Empire and their rise to power. And
whether that was biblical or not.
A little bit.
A little bit. But we do want to thank you for listening. What we usually do is take some type of aspect of theology or doctrine and just kind of walk through it. We have been going through some of the attributes of God, like his love, his omnipotence, his, I'm trying to think of other ones. We had sovereignty. That was a good one last week. I'm kind of complimenting myself. Well done, you guys.
Little pat on the back right there.
But today we want to talk about, I think this was Corlin's idea. So if you're mad, you can talk to him. We want to talk about healing and faith, I guess. And, I guess kind of big picture, you know, does healing happen? Does our faith have anything to do with that? Does it come into play? Obviously, we're going to talk a little bit about the whole kind of faith healing movement, I guess, the Word of Faith, whatever you want to call it, that kind of movement where faith and healing are very, very almost like hand in hand. God can't heal without our faith, almost. So that's where we want to go today, and then just look biblically. What does the Bible actually say about healing? What can we expect today? What can we expect in the future? That kind of thing. So I don't know who wants to start. Cam, you have quite an amazing story. I don't know if you want to start with that.
Man. I've not heard this story yet.
I don't know how deep I'll go into that, but I did. I was definitely one of the ones that grew up in the faith, healing, prosperity movement. I have early memories of boldness in Christ and seeing that lived out, but then seeing somewhere when it went sideways, where this boldness in Christ, which I believe in wholeheartedly, converted to manipulating Christ based on scripture, like this happened in this way, so this will happen today in this way because we've read it in the Bible. Yep. And as a young person, you don't know enough to question that. And a lot of that was birthed out of, I remember, like just examples of Jesus healing and your faith has made you well, these statements. Yep. It's been converted so interestingly, though, because the faith that person had in God, what was that built on? It wasn't built on study of the scripture or a history and lineage of Jesus. Like none of that would have been realized. So that's quite interesting to say today that, oh, our faith will make us well because of all of this extra stuff. I think we've lost something from that first exchange to where we're at today. And there's been some highlights, I guess, on that journey. I remember a situation where I had been injured very badly, and the people praying for me, they were trying to lengthen my leg, and it was very intimidating. I was overwhelmed. I didn't really know how to stop that, and it was only about 10 years ago, and it was dramatic, and it was just bizarre, and through the whole thing, I felt incredibly uncomfortable. I had lived with a pretty serious injury for at that point, almost 10 years already. Hmm. And so it was interesting because I didn't ask for healing. I didn't sit there desiring it. It was almost like there's a deficiency in you and we're going to fix it right now. Hmm. And I really remember walking away from that thinking, like, I didn't ask for that.
Hmm. So how did they find, I'm going to ask some probing questions. Was it one of those situations where it was like, someone here has a...
No, it was family that knew.
Oh, okay. They kind of said,
that knew
we know
been
that
injured.
You have a... Gotcha.
Okay. Yeah. Another situation, I remember standing at the bedside of my uncle who was passing away. And after a long journey with cancer, and I remember the prayers of, you know, come to life, the prayers of, you know, get up, and the healing prayers that were being echoed. And I just had this sense, like, what does he want? Because I remember not having a choice in that matter. I remember not having to get to say, this is what I desire through this prayer. So my uncle died peacefully, but I think that he did die peacefully because I think he wanted peace. And I remember just feeling I should really be praying for peace in the situation and for God's will in the situation. And it went in direct contrast to others who were praying to get up and walk. So I remember these kind of two big pinnacles in my journey of thinking of through faith and healing, kind of extreme opposites in some ways, you know, mm-hmm. from what is God doing in this situation? What does this person want through this situation versus I'm just going to tell what I think God should do in this situation, and whether you like it or not. If you don't like it, you don't have enough faith. If it doesn't work, you don't have enough faith.
Yep.
There could be sin in your life. All of these variables that just have nothing to do with me. That's a really interesting way to approach.
Yeah, I think so. When you look at the whole idea of faith healing movement, and it is connected to the word of faith because it's the idea of, you know, our faith has power, our words have power. We can. It's almost like we can kind of create our own. I don't want to use the word destiny because it sounds so lame, but I essentially, mm-hmm. right? Like your word. And a lot of it is, well, look, God created the world by speaking, and we're made in his image. And so, you know, our words have carry kind of the same kind of weight. And then it's connected to this idea of faith. And, you know, if you just have enough faith, you know, insert whatever you want. You'll be healed. You'll have enough money. You'll blah, 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 blah. As long as you kind of... And I use the catchphrase a lot because I heard it in a sermon once and I love it. But they view faith as a muscle, right? And I don't think faith is that. I use it lots because it sounds so... I didn't come up with it. I think Jeff Vanderstelt or someone in the Soma movement came up with that saying. But faith is not a muscle you flex. It's a lens you see through. But the word of faith movement, the faith healing movement, it is. It's like, okay, you got to, you know, exercise your faith and get it built up strong enough mm-hmm. so that it produces stuff. And so there's lots of verses in the New Testament that talk about faith and asking God for things and believing that you'll receive. And so in this faith healing movement, they use Bible lots. They use lots of verses to kind of back up what they think. So you know, Matthew 7:7, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you'll find. Knock, it will be opened to you. Whoever asks, or everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. The one who knocks will be opened. Which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Ask him for a fish, will give him a serpent. If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? So a verse like that. Or, you know, Cam, you mentioned lots of times Jesus will say, you know, your faith has saved you. And he says, if you remember the story of the woman who was bleeding and she just kind of reaches out and touches Jesus's cloak, and he turns around and he says, take heart, daughter, your faith has made you well. So there's that idea. Oh, see, it was her faith that made her better or whatever. And then later on, and I should have written.
But it was like more like her inaction, just her reaching out, not her culmination of appropriate scripture and reference and action.
Yeah, and then later on, Jesus teaches his disciples, right? If you have little faith, if you had faith as big as a mustard seed, this tiny amount of faith, you could say to that mountain, move, and it would be moved. And so lots of people go, oh, wow. So if I just kind of exercise my faith, then I can do these impossible things. And so there's lots of places. And I don't know if you guys want to jump in with other scripture as well. But, you know, James, in the book of James, it says, you have not because you ask not. And they kind of leave. Usually people leave it there. Because, you know, you, yeah, you do not have because you do not ask. And so people say, well, you haven't been healed because you haven't asked. So ask.
Even James 5, verse 14 to 15. Is anyone among you sick?
Yeah.
Let them call on the elders and of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a common passage that's used, right? And it's a pretty definitive, like, it will make them well. It will save them.
Right.
It's like, wow, that seems pretty cut and dry. Yeah. Even we looked at it a few weeks ago, like, in James, let them ask in faith, no doubting. You know, the person must not suppose that, well, if they doubt, you'll receive anything from the Lord. So a lot of times it's, well, if you prayed for some, if you prayed for healing and you doubted, well, that's why you didn't get healed, because you didn't have enough faith.
Yeah, I definitely grew up with that mindset that I could actually, it was taken out of context from later scripture about doubt. And it was just like, I wasn't allowed to question anything as a young person, and it was called doubt. It wasn't called, like, how can God do that? It just seems so unreal. Where that was actually, that would actually be a wonderful conversation starter with a child. Like, and I should also state, the earliest memory I have of healing was actually a situation where my cousin had SIDS, and he was pronounced dead at early, I think he was 2 months old, and put into the hospital. They were keeping his eyes lubricated for donation, and and the pastor of our church and another went to the hospital and prayed for him, and he did make a miraculous, almost instant recovery to an extent, but didn't die. And hospital staff came in saying, you know, this is definitely unexplainable. And today my cousin is 30 years old, wheelchair bound and unable to speak because of the effects of that, but didn't die. And I remember just being amazed by God through that as a young, I was a child, I was 9 or 10 years old. Mm-hmm. But, God does miraculous healing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's countless examples of that. I just don't think it's the norm in the church anymore. The way it's been presented is almost a, if there's not evidence of miraculous healing, there's the, then there's not an evidence of the move of the Spirit within your church or within your body.
I'm curious, since we're talking about some, like, practical, what it looks like practically in our lives a little bit, kind of. I'm curious, Andrew, as the pastor here, have you been asked to anoint people with oil? And have you gone and anointed people with oil?
Yeah, so that's a good question. And well, let's jump there. That's a good, I had a few other things, but let's go there. Way to go. Because, yeah, so James, and you already read
five.
It, but James 5. Kind of ends the book of James. You know, is any among you suffering? Pray. Is anyone cheerful? Sing praise. Is any among you sick? Call the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who's sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he's committed sins, he'll be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Which is really interesting before I get into my... But I love that James says, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. And a lot of times when I've seen healing things, I don't see a whole lot of confessing sin to one another, which is really interesting. It's just kind of like, and I'm not saying if you just confess your sins to one another, God will heal you. But there seems to be, there's more here, right? In the context, like don't just have enough faith to be healed. Confess your sin to one another. So, yeah. What kind of healing, right? Which I think would be interesting to talk about in a little bit afterwards. Yeah. You know, is there spiritual healing? And maybe that has to do with confessing sin. Not all healing in the Bible is physical. We've been as elders asked. So I've been here for 5.5 years, probably a dozen times. Someone has called and said, "Hey, we received some news about cancer," or, you know, I'm pregnant and the doctor says I'm going to lose the baby, or I'm just, a few examples are coming to mind, but yeah, probably a dozen times. Can we come and pray and anoint you with oil, or can be anointed with oil? So yeah, I have like a little bottle of baby oil. It's not like Vatican approved or whatever, but, yeah, we've prayed for, a bunch of people, and it's interesting. I've seen people get healed, and I've seen people die. I've seen both spectrums, and we prayed the exact same way.
Yeah.
So there was one, and he had cancer, and I believe it was on his intestines or something like that. This was a few years ago. And he came in and said, it's not looking good. Can we pray? So we anointed him with oil, and we prayed for him. And then he was actually going in for surgery. Not the next day, but very soon after. The story is the surgery was to kind of reroute his intestines into one of those, whatever they're called, bags.
Mm-hmm.
So that then they could do the thing. So the surgery wasn't to remove the tumor at all. It was, we're just going to reroute his intestines, and then we'll deal with this later with chemo and stuff like that. And this is the doctor's own words, not a believer. He said, I'm doing the surgery, and then he's looking at this tumor, and he said, you could hear a sound, like a pop, and it was like the tumor just, like, let go, and he just, like, lifted it out of the guy's body and was like, well, that's weird. So that's, you know, and yeah, we prayed for him that God would heal him. And then, I mean, tumors don't just let go of stuff. And so that was pretty miraculous. And then the other story is there was a couple that they got some news. She was, I don't remember how long, far along, but they said, it's not looking good. Like your baby has some heart defects and da-da-da-da-da-da. So we prayed for them that God would spare them, and their baby died. So I've seen both, right? God miraculously heal people. But it was interesting. Both people in faith obeyed what the scripture said, and they had very different outcomes.
Right.
So, and someone actually, I know that, because this couple shared with me, someone went to them and said, there must have been sin in your life.
Wow.
Or you must not have had enough faith, or God would have done this. And I go, well, both of these individuals came in faith and obeyed what God prescribes. This is what you're supposed to do. And the elders, it's interesting, the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick. So actually, it seems to be that it's the faith of the elders that does the work. That's a terrible way to say it, but it's not the prayer of the one who's sick. It's the prayer of faith from the elders. And you look at our elders, and they're all godly men who love Jesus, and I'm going, so what was that, right?
Yeah.
You have two, I'm not going to say identical, but two very similar things with very different outcomes.
I think it's a perfect example to show that talking about faith and healing really does include all the other topics we've talked about with attributes of God. So his sovereignty, his power, you know, his wisdom. All of those things come into play when we talk about faith and healing, because he is, and I think that we should recognize as Christians and need to, that he is all powerful, so he is able to heal us. But just because he is willing and able to heal us doesn't mean that he will heal us until he returns or until we're taken home, right?
Yeah.
It can look very different than what we expect. I know when I was walking through some of the thick of my addiction with pornography and stuff, the amount of times that I cried out, like, incredibly heartfelt moments and just earnestly cried out to God for healing, that he would just instantly take that from me and just heal my brain of all those unhealthy connections that I had made over those years. It didn't happen in a snap of a finger. It's taken time. God's allowed me to have to walk through that. And in a lot of ways, I'm very, very glad that he has, because I've learned a lot about God through that, rather than just being plop, you're healed. Oh, sweet. Okay. Well, I'm going to go to Dairy Queen now. Like,
I think we would lose a lot of learning and experience by instant miracles. And I say that having navigated the last 18 months of a journey with my wife, and where we actually sat with the elders a couple months ago and were prayed for, because we're called to pray. We're called to ask, and God recognizes our humanness. Would my wife love to wake up this morning completely healed and unaffected by a terrible immune disease? Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
But I do recall the first news we got from a doctor, that he told me it could be ALS, and then you type that into the computer and you look for a 2 to 3 year mortality rate for the healthiest of young people.
Yeah.
I remember those prayers in that time, and my prayer was for my wife to live and not die. Mm-hmm. My prayer was, and I said it, I think, a couple weeks ago, it turned from just kind of like a, I don't want to say fake, but just some sort of prayer that I'd prayed for before to like a real serious, like, yeah. God, take me, not her, like my kids. But then it became like, okay, pray for complete healing. But then having a friend who walked through cancer and passed away, I remember he always told me, like, I'm going to be 100% whole. All my prayers will be answered. Yeah. I'm going to receive a new body. I'll be 100%. I just might be in the presence of Jesus, mm-hmm. and I have to be okay with that. So I thought about that when I was praying for my wife, and I'm like, okay, maybe not 100% whole. All the, yeah, and then not even joke, like, okay, like,
yeah.
And then we got a diagnosis that didn't have mortality or death attached to the end of it, and it was almost a relief. It was awful, but at the same time, it's like, okay, she's not going to die. And yeah. I sat in the hospital room with three neurologists, a few resident doctors, and the head neurologist walked over and said, what did they tell you? And I said, they said ALS, and she put her hand on my shoulder, and I started crying, and she's like, your wife doesn't have ALS. Ooh, she's not man. Going to die. It'll be a hard road, and that felt miraculous. Mm-hmm. It's yep. been an awful time, but it's felt miraculous. And sitting with the elders and sitting and having prayer, there was healing there that I don't think is obviously not physical, but something about community, something about yep. the body of believers coming alongside you in a real and serious time, not giving you fluff, not giving you light answers, not, you know, as a Christian, not kind of throwing some surfacey scripture through that. I remember during this time, very well-meaning people who loved me a lot would send me scriptures from the Bible. And I remember responding to one that said, do you realize, like, that is a comforting scripture? But, and I think it was a reference, something David had written. Like, do you realize there's a lot of natural consequences a part of his life? Like, his firstborn died. You know, he would never cease from going to war. I'm like, I appreciate that, but, I mean,
context is key.
Context. That might work well for someone who doesn't, yeah. if you're trying to show people a peace that comes from a knowledge and saving hope yeah. of Jesus. Those types of verses would help draw that person in. But if you do that to someone who has read through that, I kind of shook my head. I'm like, that's not what I want. I don't want the peace that comes after death. I want the joy and the peace that comes with life yeah. on this side. And that scripture reference after death. Thank you. No, thank you. I get it.
Yeah.
So I guess our journey is kind of in that middle, you know, between the death and the life. But the mm-hmm. journey that you find, the healing that you find through trial and through illness. Because the one thing I told my wife the other day, we were having a conversation, is like part of our struggle and part of our looking to signs, wonders, and experience of the Spirit within our lives is that we have this 75-year Earth timeline, and I remember an illustration from Francis Chan with a long rope.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was colored on one end, and he just said, like, we invest so much time making this small portion of our existence comfortable, and anytime we're met with adversity or illness, we want to immediately be instantaneously healed.
Yep.
Like, where is the lesson with that? And you're investing all of that in forgetting mm-hmm. this eternity. Do we believe that we spend eternity with Christ and that we will be fully whole? And how does that reflect on these years now when we're navigating health issues?
Yeah. And I'll say, though, and so for people listening, like, I it's okay to wrestle with, like, disappointment. And I've even had thoughts cross my mind when we've prayed for people and anointed them with oil and then they die. I've had thoughts like that. Wow, man, what happened? Like, it seems so... James makes it seem so, like, linear. Do this, and then God will heal you.
So
and
you're cookie kind of, cutter.
Yeah, almost. And so, if you're listening, like, in no way are we saying, like... I think all of us around this table, we've wrestled with, like, healing and faith. And had mm-hmm. thoughts, I think, of, like, man, if I had more faith, would that person have, like, I've wrestled with that. Like, was that on me? Like, my goodness. But I think it's, like you said, Corlin, always going back to the attributes of God, and especially I would encourage you to listen to last week's, like his sovereignty, his providence.
Yeah.
Like we don't manipulate God with our faith, and unfortunately that's often how it's painted as, like, and we played that clip last week, you know, God's kind of handcuffed and, you know, our faith releases him to like do things. And that's just such a wrong view of God's sovereignty, and his will and his power. And so I think all of us around this table would say we believe that God heals people because, you know, I've seen it, or we know of people that have seen it, like, and that's amazing. And we're not saying like, oh, you shouldn't pray for healing. That's not trusting God's sovereignty. It's like, no, we pray for healing. And anyone that comes into my office and says, can you pray that I'll be healed? Absolutely. Let's do it. So I think sometimes we think that there's only two extremes, right? Like either you don't believe in healing or you're one of those faith healer, I go to every Benny Hinn crusade type of, no, you can be in the middle, right? Where you go, the Bible says to pray for healing, so let's do it. But with this trust that,
God ultimately knows what's best for
you. Yeah, and God doesn't always heal, now, which I think lots of times, and I hear it all the time from that whole movement, the faith healing movement, is it always God's will to heal? And they say, yep, always. God always wants to heal you. And I just, that's not the truth. God doesn't always heal people. And that's okay. Or I should say, God doesn't always heal people how we want it, right? Because when you die and you go to Jesus, you're healed, absolutely. But we have it as like, no, remove the cancer here on earth, physically. And it's like, well,
we deserve this.
He might not do that. So I'll lots of times, are you going to jump in and say something? You had a look on your face, Cameron.
Yeah, I was just... thinking about, you know, the healing we see in scriptures and the boldness and those, the faith that we see evidenced in the Bible really comes from the Daniel 3 narrative that I think you shared a couple weeks ago, where I know God can, I know he will, and if he doesn't, all is well. Yeah. And that is the faith that we actually see evidenced, because it's not a faith built, like I said earlier, on an understanding of the canon that didn't exist at the time, or, you know, the folks that had the faith that Jesus would move had never even seen likely written text, having not been a religious leader. So, and you have you talked about the faith of those praying, like that's the centurion example of, you know, my daughter or my servant, you know, who I have the faith and then they're healed. Mm-hmm. But that faith comes from a knowledge that, you know, this the person of Jesus, the God behind Jesus, has the ability to heal. And yeah, we are we're encouraged to ask. And I think that, yeah, we just mistake that faith, you know. The faith is in that Jesus can. And the tension that we live in is when it doesn't happen. And I think that's a really good place to ask hard questions and to... you know, do it in a way where you take someone, whether it's a mentor or someone in the church or a godly person who I would even say is more spiritually mature, to actually wrestle with that, because those are some of the best conversations that I remember having with a gentleman named Bruce Robertson, who was 82 years old. We were colleagues, and I could ask really hard things to, because he had seen and lived through everything. Hmm. His wife was dying. He is 82, and he just helped me see life a little more condensed and a little more realistic than, like you said, I want today to be best and ignore any trial or any lesson that you can acquire from walking through difficulty.
Yeah.
It's interesting because, like you were saying, Andrew, I do think that every one of us here believes that healing is something God is 100% capable of doing.
Yep.
But I definitely find myself, I don't know if doubting, but walking in the way of just being like, well, I mean, if you get sick, that's just the way it is. Yeah. No point in praying for healing. We all die anyways. May as well just live it out. You know, so be it.
Yeah.
Until I'm sick, and then I'm, oh, why me? Why? But you know what I mean? And I'm curious what part my previous experiences have had to play in that, because I've seen people who are really, really sick be anointed with oil and have elders pray over them. And then when the healing doesn't happen, the elders come to that person and say, well, maybe you didn't have enough faith. Mm. And so, like, I have stories like that, and then there's other elements, like, where I've seen God, over time, you know, work in my life and start healing in the area of sexual integrity and stuff like that, and just knowing what's going on physically in my brain as I'm walking through healing. So, like, it's kind of a weird tension to hold, like you were talking about earlier, knowing that, like, we can come to God, and I think we even should pray for healing, not just we can, I think we should.
Yeah.
But there's an interesting tension to try and hold and understand there too, that like you're doing this because God has allowed us, just like he's allowed you to be sick. So recognizing that there might be something that God's trying to show you. And I feel like that's another thing that we as Christians can do, is almost no matter what happens in life, it's like, what is God trying to show you? Like, you stub your toe on something, and, okay, what's God trying to teach you through this? Well, I was in a hurry to work, and, like, I just need to learn to slow down. Like, there very well could be something God's trying to teach you through your sickness and Lord willing, healing process. But I think sometimes that's just the consequences of sin, is living in a broken world.
Yeah. No, I agree. And even, like, so the idea that God doesn't always heal people, I think that's hard for us to kind of wrap our brains around. But even I use the example, I mean, Paul's life is a really good example for us. Because even in 1 Corinthians 11, he talks about all of his sufferings as an apostle. He just goes, you know, where is that? 1 Corinthians 11, he says, I am talking like, or so he says, with far greater labors, far more imprisonments, countless beatings, often near death. 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews 40 lashes less one. 5 times he was whipped 39 times. That's insane. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned, like thrown stones, not like marijuana.
Paul, are you confessing? One time, man. Once I was stoned.
Just one time. 3 times I was shipwrecked. 3 times. A night and a day I was adrift at sea. Like, think about that. For 24 hours, Paul was just floating in the middle of the sea. On frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness. Danger
all the time sea. Walking back to Jerusalem knowing he's probably going to be killed.
Yeah, danger from false brothers, in toil, hardship, many sleepless nights, hunger, thirst, without food, in cold and exposure. And apart from all these things, there's all the pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches. So Paul's like, on top of all of that, all these churches I've planted, I'm freaking out about all of them. And then later on in 2 Corinthians 12, Paul talks about, so on top of all of those physical things, he says, so to keep me from being conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me to keep me from being conceited. So on top of all of that stuff, I love Paul's perspective, to keep me from getting a big head. God sent a thorn in my flesh. And I know right away, faith healers hate this passage. And they'll say, well, the thorn in the flesh was persecution. It wasn't a physical thing. Which I completely disagree with. Because there's another passage where, maybe one of you guys can look it up. But Paul talks about that you would have given me your eyes. I can't remember where that is. But he says in one of his letters that you would have given me your eyes. I think that Paul either was blind. And this, again, don't take this to the bank. This is my own...
Galatians 4.15.
Yeah, Galatians 4.15. He talks about... what does he say here? Galatians 4.15. For I testify to you that, if possible, you would have gouged out your eyes and given them to me. So you're like, what's that about? I think Paul was actually blind.
Is that symbolic?
But I, again, don't be like, I'm not going to preach a sermon about Paul's blindness. This is just a thought that I had. So I don't think that, his thorn in the flesh was just persecution. I think it was a physical ailment to to keep him from being conceited because of all of these revelations that he's having. And then in 2 Corinthians 12, it says, three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. Three times Paul prayed, God, whatever this thorn in the flesh is, would you just take it away? And God's response essentially was, nope. Mm-hmm. I mean, God says, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. And then Paul's response is not, got to muster up more faith and pray. He says, I'm going to boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And then he says, for the sake of Christ, I'm content with weakness, insult, hardship, persecution, calamity. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. So we have a New Testament example of God not healing someone. And it can be encouraging, right? That Paul prayed, and we think about Paul like, oh, he didn't have enough faith. Really, Paul? Like, if right. I think of anyone with, you know, faith, it's right. Paul.
Yeah.
And he prayed, God, take this away. And God's answer, I love it, was, no, just depend on me. Like, you don't need it to be taken away. My grace is enough for you, Paul. So I think we can, you see God's goodness in that. And God's plan in that suffering, God used it to keep Paul from being conceited. I love that, because Paul could very easily become conceited. Yeah. You know, I'm a super apostle. I have all these revelations. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11, or whatever it is, 14, I speak in tongues more than any of you. Like, he could very well become conceited and very prideful. So Paul just sends, or God sends,
yeah,
I think, physical sickness, yeah, to humble Paul. And he doesn't heal him. So, again, a lot of times when we have sickness or we have cancer or disease or we're unwell, I think immediately we're like, this is not fair. God, you got to take this away. Which, yes, we pray for that. But I think a lot more so we should be saying, like you said, Corlin, not in a cheesy way, but God, what are you trying to teach me,
yeah,
through this? And yeah, not when, yeah, you stub your toe or when you get a hangnail, like, oh!
Yeah.
But like, okay, yeah, God, I just got a cancer diagnosis. What are you trying to teach me through this, God? And I'm not saying, like, I'm not going to go to chemo or get surgery because I have faith. No, but ask God, God, what are you trying to teach me, yeah, as I suffer? Because he was teaching Paul a very clear lesson. My grace is enough for you, Paul. Okay. I don't want that lesson. But I think that's a good question to ask when we're sick. Okay, God, what are you trying to teach me? How is this sickness a part of my sanctification, I guess?
Yeah, yeah, that's a good question.
And I think I remember just catching myself, and even till today, like, again, putting the miraculous healing of Jesus on this timeline that only fits my comfort, because I've cut myself several times. And it's interesting how the body is miraculously designed.
Yeah.
Who knew? You know, and it was just amazing how cells can form and close, and the body has a system to fight infection. Like, it's pretty miraculous stuff. And, you know, you cut yourself, you're going to be healed in a few weeks of taking care of it and changing your bandage and cleaning. If that's not miraculous, I think we've, much like so many of our interactions with Christ, we've just watered it down to the point where it's just got to be this certain way to be evidence of God working in our lives, or evidence of the Spirit, you know, here within the world. Like,
yeah,
we just have made miracles fit into this little box to which we've been guided. We miss so many. Like, we're in spring, things are blooming. Like, there's just nature and its incredible design from, you know, created from the mind of God has been, we've lost all of that. It's not miraculous anymore. It's not, yeah, exciting. It's not God anymore. Yeah. We've become dull. And so we call miraculous things like, yeah, that tumor falling off, which happens. But I read an interesting article yesterday just that highlighted some of the early church and miraculous signs and wonders, and the necessity of that being the church norm to inspire this. You know, you just talked about Paul's persecution. This was the reality for early believers. Intense physical, mental persecution that often led to death. how do you motivate this people to continue in this faith with Jesus having, you know, ascended years earlier? It takes that, or it took that evidence. And so I was asked a question, again, by my friend who passed away. He said, you know, if I'm healed today miraculously, will it turn people to God? Hmm. Will it cause faith among folks to increase? He said, my wife, my close friends and family who have been praying would have their faith further solidified, yes. Hmm. But for every non-believer in my circle, and he had many, he led a addiction treatment center, medical science would be given the credit for my cancer reverting because of the treatments I'm on and the medical decisions. So miraculous healing today may not have the same impact as it did in the formation of the early church.
Yeah.
And I wrestled with that for a long time, and I still have to navigate that. But nothing's more powerful than, you know, a pastor on his deathbed talking about these earthly realities. And it seems so clear to him. At the same time, very human. Do I want someone to sleep with my wife? He said, no. Yeah, but right. She's going to need something. Like, it was so interesting because he was 41 years old. But to navigate some of those realities, will my healing cause people to turn toward God? He said, I'm not sure. But we see that in scripture of healing and people being amazed and wanting to know more and wanting to engage with the person of Jesus. Like, that seemed to me like the purpose of those signs is to cause people's hearts to turn towards a saving knowledge of Jesus, which led to then lives of righteousness, striving towards righteousness and a proper kind of template for the process. We've missed that now when we travel from healing room to crusade, enjoying that experience, but never actually walking out the rest of the narrative.
Yeah,
that's good. Yeah, and I think too, and I mentioned earlier, but the idea of like spiritual healing and the fact that anyone coming to a saving knowledge of Jesus, that's a miracle. That's miraculous.
Yeah.
And I think when we talk about, you know, signs and wonders and miracles, unfortunately, it's always just physical
leg lengthening.
Like here's a physical sign, wonder, manifestation of the Spirit. When it's like, yeah, but when someone actually surrenders to Jesus, like that's miraculous. Because Isaiah 53 is often a passage that's used to say, well, like Jesus's death paid for our physical healing. You know, it says he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds, we are healed. And right away, lots of faith healing people are like, see, with Jesus's wounds, we're healed. And I'm like, yeah, but it doesn't necessarily say that you're healed physically. There's lots in the Bible that talks about spiritual healing.
Mm-hmm.
Even the word, you know, your faith has saved you, which Jesus uses often, or your faith has made you well. Like, it can mean
go and sin no more.
Yeah, it can mean spiritual wellness and spiritual healing. So I read Isaiah 53 and I say, praise God with Jesus' wounds, I'm healed spiritually. I don't go, oh, because Jesus died, I get all this physical stuff. It's spiritual healing. And that, like, I've seen miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle of people being saved. And to me, that's way, way more impactful than, oh, your spine straightened or whatever it is. Sure. Like, that's great. But, like, I've had... And I use an example. There was a guy that and he still goes to our church. I won't use names because I didn't ask him if I could. But like for like a year or two, somewhere in that timeline, he had come to church faithfully, and he was loving what he was hearing. And I met with him a few times and kind of walked through. You know, do you believe that Jesus was a real person? Yep, absolutely. This and that. But he just couldn't. He just said, "I just can't." Whatever you want to say, cross the line and like believe in it. I just can't. And so, okay, for like a year or two. And then there was one random Sunday. I don't even remember what I was preaching about. Preached some random sermon. And afterwards he came up and was like, I need to surrender to Jesus. And I'm like, why now of all... There's a miracle, right?
Sure,
like,
yeah.
I don't even remember. It wasn't even like a clear cut, like, here's what salvation looks like. It was just a, I think we were in Matthew, probably. And that day he said, like, yep, I'm going to follow Jesus. Like, that's – we should celebrate those miracles because he gets to
because
spend –
because they're eternal.
He gets to spend eternity with Jesus now. Like, that's unbelievable. Mm-hmm.
And his body will still die.
Yeah,
even
exactly.
if Christ comes back.
So I think lots of times this idea is, okay, well, you know, Jesus paid for our physical healing, which Isaiah doesn't necessarily say that. And then there's lots of you know, in this whole movement, the idea of, you know, Jesus, you know, heaven on earth, God's kingdom come, and, you know, Jesus teaches us to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so lots of people use, I mean, it's really catchy, but use those kind of things like our job is to bring heaven to earth, and there's no sickness in heaven, right? And everyone goes, right. Well, if our job is to bring heaven to earth, then there should be no sickness. And I want to be like, time out. Jesus also said there's no marriage in heaven. So, like, should you all get divorced now? Like, no. Like, so you can't. I mean, it sounds great. Yes, bring heaven to earth. There's no sickness in heaven. No sickness on earth. I'm like, yeah, but there's no marriage in heaven. There's no. There's a lot that's not in heaven that's on earth right now. Yeah. So don't. I guess
manipulate it.
Well, that's where discernment comes in, where we go, right. We don't want to have an over-realized eschatology. And I stole that phrase from Matt Chandler, but he talks about there's lots in Revelation that sounds amazing. And we look at that and we go, we should have that now. Well, we're not guaranteed that now.
Right.
And so a lot of this whole faith healing is like all of these promises that exist in heaven or when Jesus returns, we should have access to them now. Because you read Revelation 21, he's going to wipe away every tear. Death will be no more, no mourning, no crying, no pain. Former things have passed away. And then Revelation 22 talks about the river of the water of life, and it yields its fruit. And then it talks about there's nothing accursed. The throne of God and of the Lamb are in it. They'll see his face. It's for the healing of the nations. And we go, that sounds great. I want that now. And it's like, well, we don't
skipped over the judgment.
And yeah, like we don't get that now. And now we wrestle through the effects of the fall. Like Corlin said, it's part of sin that we have sickness and disease. And does God heal? Yep. Does he always heal? Nope. And that's okay.
Do we have to live with it? Yep.
Yeah.
I've often wrestled with the praying for the dead to rise personally, just because I don't know. Like I told my wife in all honesty, like if something happened, like you pray for the person to come back to a very broken existence from the face of Jesus, possibly.
Like, thanks a lot, guys.
Well, I've asked myself just navigating, you know, the death of Jesus on the cross where dead in Christ have risen and went into the city. It's like, what did that look like, right? Well, here I am again. chances of getting cancer again are, you know, they're a reality. I've not wrestled through that enough, but it's an interesting thing to think about because I think if I was in the face of Jesus and yanked back somehow by this prayer of the saints, I'd be, come on.
Yeah.
And that is not a theological statement. I've still got to navigate that and it'll take a little bit, but for future episodes.
Man. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's good. I want to encourage you if you're listening, that if you are sick or, you know, like follow what the Bible says, go to your pastor. If you go to a different church, ask to be prayed for. Absolutely. Yeah. We're not saying that you're kind of stuck with sickness. No. I would encourage anyone who is sick to, the first thing we should do is call the elders, pray and have faith that God would heal you. I'm glad that you referenced, Daniel 3, because I've often told people that is, I think, the prayer of faith, right? When they're about to be killed, essentially, thrown into a fire, and they say, God can heal us, he will heal us, and even if he doesn't, that's good. Mm-hmm. So I've often prayed that, like, God, I know that you can heal, I know that you're going to heal, and even if you don't, I'm still going to worship you because you're worthy. I would encourage that's the posture, right?
That is the boldness that we approach the throne room of grace with.
Yeah.
Yep. We know God can. We know he will. And if he doesn't, we know he's sovereign and good and just and loving.
Yeah.
So that is the boldness that we've seen manipulated to force the hand of God.
Right.
You've missed the mark. The boldness is, we know he can, we know he will, and even if he doesn't.
Yeah, that's good. Well, thanks for listening, and hopefully that's been helpful, and we will talk to you next week.